As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove. There is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Tuesday, November the 2nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've always got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each day, especially on Tuesdays and Thursdays, as we are joined by independent researcher Vicki Davis, as we continue tracking this pathological technocracy emerging as a new global order. A lot on the plate for you today, that's for sure. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, well, you're not alone, but you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where all philosophically radical thought is not a crime. Freedom is popular here and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, throughout the broadcast, you can pick up the phone and call in for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call in at 512-904-8014, or if you'd like to take Oracle with you on the road or listening to it offline, you can also use option two there at 512-904-8014. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centuryretail.net. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, or if you'd like to send me a check for $1 million, you too can be a part of it. You can send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647, and I appreciate those checks for $1 million. And here's a big shout-out to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. Our listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and your calls are always welcome. India buys the IMF gold. Warren Buffett buys Burlington Northern Railroad. What's next? Will Spain buy Texas and France buy back the Louisiana Purchase? I don't know. The world game of chaos. We'll talk about that today with Vicki Davis. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to those market reports for Tuesday, November the 3rd. Boy, I had that wrong, didn't I? November the 3rd, 2009, active trading New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold trading off $2.30 at $1,057.30, which is a wound that's been healed. It's now over $1,060. We'll see where it closes today. Silver lost 12 cents in early morning trading at $16.33 an ounce. Platinum losing 15 bucks, going down to $13.20. Not bad, $1,320 for a platinum, an ounce of platinum. Palladium loses $4. It trades at $318. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $1,043.70 for a low and $1,067.50 for a high. At $1,057.30 an ounce, your gold is up $333.40 an ounce for a 46.07% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,058. In the Dow, closing down yesterday, 77 points, trades at 97.89. The NASDAQ down 4 at 2,049. The S&P lost 7 and closed at 1,043. Crude oil loses almost a dollar in early trading, down 82 cents a barrel, $77.31 for a barrel of light sweet crude. And the U.S. dollar index up 0.39, 39 basis points in trading at 76.61. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again right here on our Tuesday, November the 3rd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We definitely come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Again, my name is William Roberts, and we're going to finish out this market report, and then we're going to pick up and continue where we left off in the past with Vicki Davis. Folks, we've got a lot of very interesting stuff on the plate. There is no doubt about it. But let us finish it again. Gold was trading off $2.30 at $1,057.30. And if you notice, Oracle has a new sponsor on the homepage, Swiss America Trading. They're commonly known as the cheese people. We won't hold it against them. There's lots of places to get your information on gold. And so anyway, we do have a new sponsor. Glad to see that. But gold closed down $2.30 at $1,057.30. Silver was off 12 cents at $16.33. And in the foreign exchange rates, as a result of this USDX, this Intercontinental Exchange Inc., this specious foreign product here called the USDX, moving up 39 basis points in this world of digital wealth, I guess, and being found at 76.61 had an impact on everything else in the Forex. The Canadian dollar goes off 27 basis points, trading at 93 cents U.S. The Mexican peso has basically just become the basket liner in our basket of currencies here in the North American Union, and it is off 114 basis points and yet just barely hanging on by its piñata stick at 8 cents. The euro loses 81 basis points in early trading and still closes out and trades at $1.47 U.S. The British pound off 52 basis points at $1.63. And the venerable little Swiss franc moves down a bit and trades back now at 97 cents U.S. The bond market yielding, the two-year yield is 0.89%, moving down again. Now, we haven't been in the 89 area for a while. We've been in the 90s for a while. We've been over 1%, but it's altogether too low. Nevertheless, the bond yield on the two-year is at 0.89%. The 10-year is at 3.40. The 30-year is running at 4.25. In the mortgage market, as we saw, we are moving back up in the interest rates on mortgages. And so if you missed the bottom, you missed it. But the 15-year mortgage moves up a bit more and is now at 4.60%, making it more difficult for people to afford to buy houses. But at 4.60%, folks, can you really miss? At 30-year mortgages, moves up a bit also at 5.15%, moving up from 5.10% a month ago. So there's your market report for today. Read it and weep. Hope it's of value to you. Get involved in some kind of protection of your wealth. Certainly all of that. Joined again as we are on Tuesdays and Thursday by Vicki Davis. Vicki, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Will, and good morning, everybody. I'm doing just fine. I have to say that Will is probably the greatest co-host, talk show host that ever was, because I dropped things on him about 10 minutes before the show, say, here we go. This is what we're going to do. And I appreciate that, Will.
Well, we've got an interesting panoply, if you will, of ideas to peruse this morning. Folks, if you're not aware of it, or if you've, this is the first time you've joined Vicki and I on Tuesdays and Thursdays, her website is www.channelingreality.com, www.channelingreality.com. And when you get to that website on the homepage, you'll see the Become Vocal Local link on the left-hand side. Click on that, and you'll open up the Become Vocal Local page, where today, at the top of the list, we've got the World Game of Chaos. We've got Madeline Halfbright, the Stonebridge International. Madeline talks about, there's a press release in here, Samuel Sandy Berger, the nexus between 9/11 and North American Union. Summits of the Americas. Well, we're only halfway through the list. Where do you like to start this morning? Let's go to that World Game of Chaos. Very interesting read.
Yeah, the subject, even though those things seem like they're unrelated, they are related when you start thinking about games. And how I happened to do this research on the World Game of Chaos, you know, where what I did was I was researching computer systems, starting out with supply chain, and then you know, the history of pre-1947 and forward. And, of course, you know, the history of computers, and that led me up to the 1960s and the futurists. And what I did here is that, or, well, another thing that led me to this was that when I was researching the NAFTA superhighway and they were talking about all the technology and stuff, I remembered a program back in the late 1960s that I watched with my dad that I never missed. And it was called The 21st Century. And what they were doing in that program was presenting the visions of the future that the futurists of the time were coming up with. And it back when computers first came into use, in everybody that was working on them, they were really the very high level scientists. You know, and they live in a completely different world than we live in. And there was such potential for computers to improve society. And so what they did is these scientists got together to try and produce visions of the future of what could be done with the computers, you know, once they get out into the well, first the business arena, the education arena, just every possible arena, and even now, of course, onto your desktop.
Well, one day, I don't remember how many years ago it was, quite a few years back, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 96 or thereabouts, I acquired for my library a complete bound set, if your edition, if you will, of Nikola Tesla's patents. And I whiled away a couple of nights reading through and looking at all of the patents, the things that he had patented. And one of the most unusual things in that huge book, he had many, many patents, he'd come up with a patent for something that he called an AND gate. An AND gate, folks. And this AND gate, even though he didn't have any application for it at his time, and you talk about a futurist, he certainly was that. But his little AND gate is the switch, I guess, that makes a computer actually be a computer. In other words, instead of being a toaster or a microwave oven, it becomes a computer once you add this little AND gate into the circuit boards, which is one of the reasons why no one really has ever been able to patent the computer per se. Everybody's been able to add stuff onto the old motherboard, but without that little AND gate that he came up with before there were any computers on the planet, we wouldn't have been able to go this direction. So there's a lot of influence from these futurists. I like to go back and look at the late 1800s and come forward from there, from the Garden Cities movement, the urban planners of their time. They were planning, all of these various utopias came on board. We had Sir Thomas More way back when, he was in the same time, he's contemporary with Martin Luther, came up with this idea of utopia. It was, well, he coined the phrase, folks. We'll pick it all up there on the other side of this break and be back with Vicki Davis.
3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-Panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time, impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com.
cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With Point pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays from Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we've returned to visiting again with Vicki Davis. Folks, her website is channelingreality.com. Click on the Become Vocal Local link on the homepage and come on into the world game of chaos with us. You start this article off. Imagine the first team of scientists to find a tribal group of people living deep in a jungle. There's a total eclipse of the sun in a few days. The scientists set up their equipment to observe it while attempting to use sign language to communicate with the primitives. The eclipse happens, and the primitives, not knowing any science and being unable to communicate in the language of the scientists, think that the scientists must be gods because they knew something incredible was going to happen before it happened. Boy, we can go back about 6,500 years and run through the history of man with that one. That trick has been used over and over again, but you're right, in the early 60s, scientists who were involved in the development of computers and related technologies became, in fact, the technology gods, and boy, did they. And everybody else were just simply the primitives. Let's pick it up there and continue.
Yeah, well, and because of that, because they were looking at technologies that were so far beyond the capability of the average person to comprehend, you know, they had to do two things, really. They were envisioning a world where computers were in common use, and also trying to figure out ways to communicate those kinds of things with the primitives who had no idea. I mean, if you go back in the early 60s, I remember the early 60s, and black and white TVs were still the norm. I remember I had a girlfriend whose family was relatively wealthy. They had a color TV, and it was really a treat to be able to go watch TV at her house, you know.
And you had to have a television station someplace broadcasting in color. When we grew up in Fairbanks, Alaska, everything was black and white.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had three stations, you know, or two TV stations, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think we had more than that. I think we may have had one or two TV stations. We had a couple of different radio stations, but beyond that, there wasn't any choices. Whoops. Whoops. Call drop. Let's try it again. Let's try this again. I'm going to have to add Vicki back in. Let me go back over here, add back in this, go over here. This is high technology, folks. This is really state of the art. You know, when you're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, you're listening to a different breed of cat, and that is for sure. Okay.
Yes?
You see, you get to hear everything. Live radio. We'll just add her back in again, recording a voicemail. Let's try it again on the other phone. And I'll go here and go over here. We've got this thing covered six ways to Sunday. We can even go back to snail mail if we have to, but let's go this way and go there. And we can get a dial. There we go.
Hello, I'm rebooting.
Well, I was just carrying on an inane dialogue with the audience while we were reconnecting here, you know, but this is really, you know, this is where the state of the art is. I'm sitting here in my living room studio. broadcasting out across the internet, and it's being picked up by the affiliate broadcasters. You're sitting up where in your space there in the great Northwest. We're connected by this IT system. Between us, there's countless numbers of hubs and all of that. And we're able to do today on the internet from our homes that which was unimaginable to these primitives back in the 60s.
That's true. And what I just did was a demonstration of the technology, and there still is the factor of the competence of the operator, the human operator.
Well, that's why we have to be relieved of our responsibilities. The transhumanists are really right. You know, it's time for the people to step aside and let the machines to do it. I don't think so. I'd rather just have two cans and long string, and we'll pull it tight and talk to each other in secret. Unless the NSA can tap into our string, they won't be able to listen to our conversation. So
I don't know. I think they have string spies. Somehow they'll build in nanobots in the string.
That'll be the recycled tin can tax. You know how it is. Now, then you say the next part of this is toward the year 2000, and this is a work in progress. This is a rather interesting read, edited by Daniel Bell and Stephen Graubard, 1965, the American Academy of Arts and Sciences initiated the commission in the year 2000. 1965, folks. Remember, I've been reading, and Vicki, if you're not aware, I've been reading from periodically from this excellent book that was sent to me by one of our listeners. It's called The Man's Role in Changing the Face of Earth. It was a Princeton symposium back in 1955, but when they held this symposium, Vicki, all of these incredible thinkers from all over the world, thinkers and stinkers alike, wrote in, submitted treatises. And we could really see right there in 1955 this whole concept toward the year 2000 and the 2050 and beyond, as they were looking at the world, then projecting their ideas into the future. And so this idea of the commission on the year 2000, really, as you say here, the commission did not believe that one could predict the future, but they sought instead to identify the structural changes in society that would have long-term social impacts. And since the commission believed that choices were possible, it sought to chart alternative futures on critical issues that society would face. And so, once again, we go back to the utopianists, Erewhon, etc., people who are visionary in their writing. You've got Isaac Asimov, one of my favorites, Robert Heinlein, another fave. A lot of people looking into the future, looking where we are, who we are, and whose we are, and gazing, if you will, into their crystal ball.
And what you just read there, in the seeds of that thinking, is where the, I would say that the idea of using game theory on the public originated in the modern context. The alternative futures, you can have this choice or that choice. And remember last week on Thursday, we were talking about the alternative futures, you know, utopia or chaos. Those are your choices. And so basically they set things up in such a way that you really don't have a choice, Hobson's choice, and that's what their edition of game theory is about.
And it really is a game in so many of their minds. You know, it's not so much the blood and the guts and the misery and the sickness and the sadness of the people of Iraq and Afghanistan and Kosovo and Bosnia and Korea and all of the rest of the places, Vietnam, all of the rest of the places all up and down South America. It's not the blood and the guts and the gore. It's not the poverty and the hunger and the deprivation. It's really a game. It's a sociological exploration. It's playtime for the super social scientists, isn't it?
Yes, and that's what makes them so psychotic, and I really think that Madeleine Albright is one of them. But if you look at the people down here, there are the contributors to this report. I mean, these really were the thinkers of their day, and the ones that are still alive are still prominent, you know, in intellectual circles, charting the way, you know, for we primitives.
And, you know, every time you see the, you know, when I look at lists like this, there are certain names that do pop out. I see Monahan's name in here, you know, and he was all tied up in all of this as well. Herman Kahn, very important people in this list of contributors. Folks, we'll pick it up right on the other side. And, Vicki, I'll reconnect with you during the break.
Okay.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from survivalistseeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from survivalistseeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit survivalistseeds.com.
Survivalistseeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local, visiting again as we do on Tuesdays and Thursdays with Vicki Davis. The website again is channelingreality.com, folks. Here's an article, Vicki, I pulled off of Bloomberg earlier this morning. I thought it was rather interesting. The headline reads, Rome Hospital starts treating booming web addiction disorder. And this is by Chiara Ramondini. On November 3rd, New News, Rome's Policlinico Gemelli Hospital, whose former patients included Pope John Paul II, by the way, has opened a clinic to treat internet addiction disorder, a pathology linked to the obsessive need to be online. The center, which opened yesterday, is a unit of the psychiatric department, has received its first patients, according to a statement on the hospital's website. The Gemelli is one of the Italian's capital's biggest medical centers. The disorder is linked to the booming use of the internet, especially among the younger generation. Lucio Di Alessandris, a psychologist at the center, said in an interview, quote, many of the patients have interpersonal problems. They don't like to talk to their neighbors and they hardly go out, but they're online all night to chat with, say, someone in Nepal. And it continues. So we're in trouble. We're sick.
And you know what? As soon as they put a DSM-4 diagnosis to it, we are in trouble because then Yahoo and our ISP can know how long we're online. I mean, they've got us. We're convicted.
That's it.
They can just come round us up and say, you know, these people are addicted. We have to help them.
Well, I don't know what kind of a cure that they would recommend for somebody like us, but, you know, once you go down this rabbit hole and you start looking at what is real, then the illusion that is outside seems to be a little bit crazy. You know, I love being out in the country, folks. I've done a lot of mountain climbing, backpacking, downhill skiing, cross-country skiing, the whole, you name it, I've done it. If it's outdoors, I did it. Run, you know, marathons, bicycling, the whole thing. And it's fantastic. I love it. If I could, I would, and I'd continue doing it. But once I started to come into this particular line of reasoning, once we started to open these doors and start stirring around in this pathological technocracy, the imminence of what's coming down and the importance of what's coming down seems to transcend my desire to fly fish for trout.
Well, I mean, you know, aren't we playing? This is their game. They set up this game, and the greatest game is the solution to 9/11. And so, pulling together all of the pieces that brought us to the point of the world upside down that we're living in now. So I didn't ask, you know, to be a player in this game, but I think, you know, because of what I did for a living as a systems analyst, it's what you need is the ability to do analysis to where you don't need a step-by-step instruction, and because nobody's going to confess to their part in the game or even reveal that there is a game. So you have to have a certain flexibility in your thinking and to be able to read beyond the text and follow the ideas and the thinking behind what they're saying.
As a lot of people say, it's connecting the dots, you know, connecting the dots of all of these mysteries and putting all of these various and sundry players into the same room with the game machine, with their Game Boy, and from that point, then we can start to move forward a little bit in our understanding of what it is that they have in mind. You know, Vicki, if they had in mind something wonderful, I would be on their side. But I don't see anything wonderful in where they want to go. So there is this sort of a pathological, murderous, lying deception that's going on in all of this that seems to want to pit us north against southeast against west continuously for some particular reason to advance this agenda. And I don't like it. I think it stinks like a halibut on the poop deck. But we're dealing with something that has been coming along ever since perhaps the world did come upside down.
Well, and one thing that I wrote, I should probably put a link out there, but since you brought it up, I wrote something called Their Order is Our Chaos. I mean, you know, they're sitting up on high, you know, in the clouds that they live in, and they're just looking at the world as, you know, masses of land, and oh, it makes a really nice logical section to consider North America, you know, down to the Isthmus of Panama or whatever it is. And so, you know, we'll just put that mass together and call it a unit. You know, never mind that we have a country, we have borders, we have history, we have heritage, we have culture. All of these things that is integral to who we are, they just toss that out as completely unimportant and irrelevant.
Well, from the economic standpoint, I've been covering this a little bit. We spoke about it yesterday, the various factors of production inside of the system. You've got land, labor, capital, and the entrepreneur, the enterpriser, or the bourgeoisie. All of the factors, basically, are just units. They're units in production. And so if you are at the level, let's say, of one who has gained or amassed considerable wealth or an entrepreneur on the rise, you're looking at all of these factors of production as units. And, you know, it should really to us be a little surprise that that's what they are looking at. They're looking at this bunch of, you know, millions of people that show up on 9/12 in Washington, D.C., arriving by the busloads, trying to think of something productive they could do with them. But they're certainly looking at them as so many units on the ground. And it's completely irrelevant as to what they were saying. It's the real issue is what could we do with this energy?
Right. And well, and I personally, I don't consider myself a unit. never have, never will.
Yeah.
And so that, and that's what's difficult for, I think, a lot of people to understand is that, I mean, understand in terms of the political arena where power decisions are made, is that they are simply a factor of production and disposable like a used Kleenex.
Well, we
I mean, it's becoming more clear now, but, I mean, in the past it was not that clear.
You have here this quotation or this Greek word chilio or chiloi, the Greek word for a thousand from which we get our religious term chiliism. It's another one of these isms. But the belief in a coming life free from the imperfections of human existence, you know, we really are in the way and need to be swept aside because we're just not with it, you know. But let's continue along through this. This is a very interesting read. There's an episode here with Zbigniew Brzezinski that you bring out. I think of an episode of my friend Zbigniew Brzezinski, who had been a member of the Commission of the Year 2000. He was being baited on television by a hostile commentator who began, here's the quote, "Professor Brzezinski, you're a criminologist." "Yes," he replies, "if you like that clumsy word. You tell the State Department what goes on in the Soviet Union," the man continued, "and when they listen," as Zbigniew retorted, "the man then sprung his trap." Quote, "How come you failed to predict the ouster of Khrushchev?" Close quote. And Zbigniew, who is quick on his feet, replied, "Well, tell me, if Khrushchev could not predict his own ouster, how do you expect me to do so?" So this idea of predicting, you know, we've got people who have the a gift, if you will, of being able to see the future. Sometimes they can see around. They have the ability to vision what might be happening simultaneously at another part of the planet. What's all this predictive programming and predictive power has to do?
Well, I would call it more probability. Which is a factor, I suppose, in my research and my analysis. You know, if you're following ideas and you see, you know, an outcome that's farther out, then you can take a leap and then back up into what. How do I say this?
Synthesis is the word.
Yeah, well, you know,
in mind synthesis.
Because I know what they did.
Hang on there, dear. Then you can back yourself into the thesis and the antithesis. We'll be back right after this break, folks, in a few moments.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
Well, it's a nasty job, but somebody has to do it. As the host, I do have to interrupt Vicky when we come into the bumper breaks. But nevertheless, going back to this little bit here, an interview between John Gardner and Daniel Bell. Daniel Bell was trying to get money from John Gardner, the head of the Carnegie Corporation, for funding. And John said to Daniel, quote, "You've written an interesting memorandum, but give me a prediction," close quote. To which he responded, "It is very difficult to predict." Well, if you don't give me a prediction, you don't get the money. And if you don't eat your pudding, you won't get the meat. Well, it seems to be the way that's going down. But the idea of not being able to give a prediction, to make these predictions, this is the real problem with all of these algorithms and logic trees and things like that. Actually predicting the future, you know, certainly Barry the Usurper and Zbigniew Brzezinski, not they had it pretty well hardwired. But the people are not quite falling for this idea of the hog sweats and squirts flu, and they're not really going for this idea of a national medical system, and they didn't really appreciate the bank bailouts, but that's the way predictions go.
Well, they, from what I see, they've created paradoxes and logic boxes, and they've gotten themselves tangled in a mess that they, I don't really think they know how to get out of, because the game is kind of being unraveled, and people are discovering that there is a real reality that they are have not been aware of and would not have been aware of had it not been for the internet. Now, going back to this meeting that the, I mean, this group that they had in 2000, basically there was kind of a, it split off into two different groups. There were the serious scientists who met and you know, visioning the future and so forth. But then there was a group that became the, what do you call it, the alternative culture, or the kind of the new age kind of people. You know, and that's what this...
Well, there is a contradiction, I guess, in mental process between, let's just follow it this way. I like to start with something like Ken Kesey, you know, the Desolation Angels, the Dharma Bums, the idea of starting out with your beatniks, or as we'll find it later in these other documents, you go back and pick it up at the time of August Comte, or get involved with Dadaism, or the concept that everything is relative and that's the only absolute. But you come back forward through the Desolation Angels and the Dharma Bums, you just come in with the beat era and then the beatniks, and then you, from that, you move into the anti-war protesters against the Vietnam War, from which then became the hippies, and from the hippies then we went into the flower children, and from the flower children we made another split. We had the yippies and the yuppies, and then the yuppies grew up, and of course they had Generation X, but the yuppies and the yippies, they went into business, they went into the institutions, and then have become what we now have. For administration on that side, this is all of the stuff of the Buckminster Fullers and all of the stuff of the futurists. But on the other side, as you said, there's this, always been this dichotomy between what we could consider to be real science and hard science, where we're actually following empirical process and we're actually dealing with objective discussion. And then you've got all of the social scientists, all of the liberal arts, if you will, the split between the technical side of education and the sociologists on that other side of it. And this is where they're at war with one another as to whose vision will come true first.
Mm-hmm. Well, and where we get into trouble as a society is when they agree on something. Then we're really in trouble, because then you've got all the, you've got the hard science engineers working with the sociologists, and chaos for us ensues.
Yeah, well, the idea of, you know, the engineering the great society, this 1965 President Lyndon Johnson was known for that phrase, this great society. But my goodness, folks, I'm telling you, I've found the great society concept back in hundreds of years ago. So there is this dichotomy then between the utopianists, if you will, the socialists and the hardcore scientists. But one thing about scientists is that they need to have funding. One thing about engineering is that it needs to have, you need to have a client, somebody that's willing to ask for something. That, and then only can the scientists actually go to work. And so, unfortunately, because of that need relationship, we get the scientists working to fulfill things like elevated high-speed rail trains, you know, between Poughkeepsie and someplace else, darling, so that people can whisk along at 90 miles an hour. It really doesn't matter. I mean, when you're sitting down to your desk in the morning and you've got a calculator in front of you and you've got all of this training and education behind you, it really doesn't matter what the project is at the end of the day. You're just working. And so it's a tough break for the people, but you're right. Science and the liberal arts, if you will, have merged, and we're following this new paradigm coming out of this utopian socialist viewpoint.
Right, and that's where you get plans to build a high-speed rail line from Seattle to Las Vegas, where you don't really have enough passengers to pay for it, you know, and so. High-speed rail will get rid of the carbon, though, right? I mean, it's one of those carbon credit kinds of things, which is another level of insanity altogether.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you can take it a lot worse. I mean, in Seattle, they've got the monorail that basically goes from the downtown area over to what was the World Fair site, which is just a few miles ride. And yes, conceivably, you can go back and forth on this monorail. But in order to roll something like that out and make it useful for everywhere, the expense is so great that monorail has run at a loss every year that they've ever run it. It was an exhibition for a fair, a world fair. And it was futuristic in the application, no doubt about it. But at the inside, it was all built out of nuts and bolts. And from a passenger standpoint, it was never productive. So there's a lot out there. There's no doubt about it. But what the real problem that I see in all of this stuff, Vicki, is again, it's the fulfillment of the great work. It's this fulfillment of these visions for the future. It's the Zeitgeist Part 2, Part 3, and the addendum worldview of this perfectly sustainable new development.
Yeah, well, and it's hard to it's hard for ordinary people who live in the real world every single day of their life to conceive that there are people that are planning the future this far out, and that their lives are really of no consequence to these intellectual thinkers. I mean, it's just...
It's a social disconnect, to be certain. You know, the idea that we've been advancing here, one of the reasons why we've got the ever-increasing deployment of the DSL, the fiber optic cables and all that, yes, initially and primarily, it's for the continuity of government. It's for the connection of all of the various towns and burgs and town councils to get everybody up on the internet, for your small town bank to be able to be up on high speed internet, and so on and so forth. But all of the people that live along the corridors, they're the ones that are supposed to finance this. But unless someone has a particular reason to be on the internet, why bother? You know, I like to call it all this cheap Chinese plastic crap, all the little tippy-tappies. You know, you talk to somebody in southwest Missouri that has 100 head of cows, they might be interested in getting a blackberry, but most people are interested in cutting down the blackberries and keeping them out of the pasture.
Well, with what they're doing to our country and to our society, what I thought you were going to say instead of social disconnect was social disease. These people are inflicting a social disease on our country.
I use the phrase the super social disease, which so clearly besets our country on almost like a mantra. You're right, absolutely right. It's a super social disease. It comes from these super social scientists that have their grounding and their roots in Claude Henri Duroy Saint-Simon and Auguste Comte and others. Definitely, no question about it. It is a disease, and that's why I like to correctly isolate, analyze, and diagnose that disease. If we can eradicate the disease, folks, we're not going to have to deal with the symptoms forever. We'll be back right after the top of the hour break with our guest, Vicki Davis, and your calls are welcome.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
History will always remember those with the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, November the 3rd, 2009, live two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, visiting as we do on Tuesdays and Thursdays with Vicki Davis. Her website is channelingreality.com, folks. If you click on the Become Vocal Local link on the homepage of her website, you'll come right into the documents that we're looking at today. World game, let's see, I don't see the top of it, but it's about chaos. We're on the first document. And Vicki, as we're going into the break, we're starting to talk a little bit about this idea of a super social disease. And there's a quote that you've listed here by Voltaire. Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. Very telling words.
Yeah, I love that quote because it's so true. And it's everything that... When it really struck me was when we went to war against Iraq, and at the point when they went into Afghanistan, you know, all the information that we had was that, you know, 9/11 was caused by some people in a cave in Afghanistan. Okay, well, that's, and they had these, you know, creepy guys called the Taliban that the CNN showed us over and over. But then when they just all of a sudden switched and went into Iraq, then that's when things really began to not make any sense at all.
Well, I don't recall the name of the broadcast or the host of the broadcast, but I do remember vividly hearing the clip of Jorge Bush, the little shrub, when he said that this was the first war of the 21st century. And the way that he said it, folks, it was like he was busting the buttons off of his shirt. He had his little chest all stuffed out there, probably in his mind. He was the war president. We were in a time of war. But the idea of being happy about, gleeful about, proud of the first war of the 21st century. When I heard that clip the first time, I just about couldn't keep it together. I mean, I wept.
Yeah. Everything that they're doing is so sick, because with the benefit of the hindsight and the research, what they're doing is they're hooking up the global network, the global control system, and they're building the global transportation system. And, you know, I saw a guy from Pakistan talking about the economic development plans for the tribal areas in Pakistan, and some things I read about Iraq, you know, they were training Iraqis to drive trucks, and in Afghanistan they were building roads, and you know, the picture becomes so clear that what these psychopaths are doing is they have a game plan, a blueprint of how they want the world to be, and it's all connected up through the internet. And these poor people over there in these primitive regions, what they're trying to do is to bring them 200 years of development forward in a single bound.
Yeah, this goes back to the writings of William Ernest Hocking in The Spirit of World Politics. He was a professor of Near Eastern Studies at Harvard. I cherish the book. It's been on my desk for years. But he spoke towards that. Instead of just letting the other people of the planet alone, Western man, if you will, has gone roundabout with this idea that somehow or another we're going to be able to yank their culture out like a bad tooth and replace it with a crown of our own. And, of course, it's always the crown of England. Well, folks, we'll pick it up on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Back in 3 minutes.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again on our Tuesday, November the 3rd, 2009 broadcast. looking at some very interesting information here on Vicki's website in this series that we're looking at this morning. You can find it on the homepage of channelingreality.com. Just click on the Become Vocal Local link. Come on in and look at the documents. Legitimizing the Futurists. In the mid-1960s, Time magazine published a series of articles giving legitimacy to the crystal ball readers, you know, of all the things that I left behind in Seattle when I moved to the Midwest. It was my crystal ball and Ouija board, but I'm glad I left them behind. The following is an excerpt from an article titled The Futurists, Looking Towards AD 2000, and I'll just read the opening sentence here. The exploration of the future has become a sizable business. General Electric has set up TEMPO, which is Technical Management Planning Organization, in Santa Barbara, California, where 200 physical scientists, sociologists, economists, and engineers contemplate the future on a budget that tops $7 million a year. The armed forces have long been in the future business. The Air Force at Wright-Patterson, the article continues here, Air Force Base, conducts studies of the whole problem of scientific prediction, also contributes $15 million a year to Santa Monica's RAND Corporation to think, and not necessarily about weapon systems. This whole idea of bringing in the Columbia sociologist Daniel Bell and all the rest of these foundations, these think tanks, you know, as you say here, or as Bertrand Juvenal said, less futurables. It's like the less miserables. That would be the Cervantes book. Less futurables. A rather interesting play on words there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is that these people, scientists, they get up in these think tanks, and I understand, you know, the process, and there's nothing more exhilarating than being in a room, blue sky thinking of systems that can be developed and ideas and analyzing problems, because I did that. But you have to be up close and personal with the problem that you're trying to solve. Otherwise, you know, your solutions are disconnected from the real problems.
Well, planning figures so highly in all of this, you know, and the training for planning is important. This evening I'm going to do a pre-recorded broadcast for the Information Corner with Sam and Trish Britton. We're going to be talking about a recent Planning Commission meeting that they had there in their little town, Owensville, one of the micro-broadcasters here. But the idea of sitting down around a table where everyone, there are no right answers or ideas, there's no wrong ideas, there's no right answers, there's no wrong ideas. What we want everyone to do is we want to think of the things that we want. We want to visualize the future. This is the beginning of the mantra. This is how you start to lead people away from need into the land of want. And if a man's wants are innumerable, then these sorts of processes can go just about anywhere, which seems to be where they do go. You have another one here, and I'm so glad you included it, because I remember seeing this cover. But at the same time, back in 1966, on April the 8th, the Time magazine published Is God Dead? And the God is Dead movement began right about in that time period. But the whole idea of transforming this country from a, if you will, and there are many arguments, and I accede to many of them, but the idea of transformation from a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, like it or hate it, into this new system had to get rid of the idea of God. We had to forget all about the Dutch that came and set up the early colonies here. We had to forget all about the Brownists and the others that came with that pesky idea that man is endowed by his creator with certain unalienable rights, and amongst these are life, liberty, and property, as Locke styled it, or life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as it found its way into our Declaration. The idea of God being dead and the idea of man planning man's future for others had to have all of these little parts and pieces, and these imaginings are all the stuff of the think tanks.
Well, if you're moving to a scientific technocracy, there's really no room for God in that. At least, you know, for most scientists. I did hear a very interesting scientist in California try to merge his ideologies, his religious beliefs, with his scientific career and background. And it was interesting, and it made sense somewhat. But I don't think the two ever really merge. You can't really, especially in some disciplines, you know, it's not possible to have both.
Well, as you write here, Bertrand du Juvenal, he says, quote, there is a tyranny in the womb of every utopia. And folks, you may have never heard of positivism. I mean, those that listen to this broadcast have gotten little bits. I've never done on air on Oracle a series on August Comte. One of these days I will. I've done it in the past so many times that to me it's old hat, and it's available on the internet. You can go to freedomadvocates.org, for instance, and get some of it there. But to understand that his law of three stages, that we move through these three stages, the first one is the theological stage of human development in which man is ruled by his priests, and then we go into this metaphysical stage, which we throw away most of what the priesthood, the priest class, brought to us. And then finally, the ultimate expression of human development is the positive stage. And in the positive stage, we throw out all of the theological and the metaphysical arguments, and we realize that the only absolute in the universe, if you will, is that everything is relative. And the whole theory of relativity, the idea of dadaism, all of that, which you can find in these documents that Vicky's pulled together for us today, it's all there. But it really, at the heart, is positivism. And logical positivism is this this idea of the transformation of language, as I've said in the past and taught on it, the obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positivist syntactician, where we come into this idea of words being nothing more than symbols. This is all interconnected into what we're talking about here, because we have people who are planning this new positivist stage of human development, and we're living in it. We have come so far into it, 150 years into it, that it's coming on us and at us all around us. And, you know, some people, even myself, I use socialism because it's what most people can wrap their mind around. But it really is far even beyond socialism. It's pure out positivism, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's when you did those broadcasts on that other network, I had to listen to those several times to really grasp what you were talking about. And I think you are so right, you know, on that philosophy being the basis for all of this that's going on today. And that they have us in the transition phase, the transformational phase.
Absolutely. We'll be right back, folks.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Hey,
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The Intel Strike Report.
And I just want to thank you for everything that you guys are doing to help people understand what's going on in this world.
You know what? You guys, thank you for what you do, and keep doing it.
And we're back. And folks, if you're young, maybe in the 30s and 40s range, something like that, you may not have any firsthand knowledge of some of the stuff that we're talking about here. But, you know, the 60s were more than just sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Certainly all of that was in my past. I grew up under that under that banner, if you will. But other things were happening as well. At the same time, I was just getting started in what you could consider planning. I have two brothers-in-law who are both architect planners, and so I have had the opportunity to live with all of them, you know, and my sisters and their families under the same roof with other people in these ideas of these group houses, and that goes back to like Toynbee Hall and things like that. But these places, it was very economical to all team up and group up. But if you've never had the opportunity to sit around late at night and listen to the early jazz musicians and stuff like that, and be in the presence of people who have read and have studied planning and architecture and the whole concept of being those that design the places for spaces to be, that which was the logo of my construction company, the whole idea of being a designer, then you wouldn't understand some of these people that we're going to talk about. Certainly Alvin Toffler comes to mind. There's lots of others that are mentioned in this article. And Richard Buckminster Fuller. Bucky Fuller was very influential in my life. Some people would follow the Grateful Dead. Some people would go to any lengths to go to a certain concert or something like that. I would crawl over broken glass to get to a Buckminster Fuller presentation. He was absolutely fascinating as a speaker.
Yeah, and before the broadcast, when we were talking about it, I told you my husband and I were in that also. I mean, we looked at buying a geodesic dome, and his whole idea of the completely recyclable, regenerative universe, it all sounded really good until you start actually thinking about and applying the principles. And it was from his ideas where you get the idea of the 20th to tap recyclable water systems. Well, I don't want to drink recycled toilet water. I'm not there.
It's just pushing ideas out. One of his books, Bucky's books, was Ideas and Integrities, which I have in my library. That's a very interesting read. One of the ones that most people have heard about is the operation manual for the spaceship Earth. Another one, he had a book of really out there type of poetry. It was titled I Seem to Be a Verb. He had a different twist, but I can just paint a quick picture for you mentally. You would go into one of these great arenas, places where he would speak, usually at a university somewhere, and get your seat. I always wanted to be up close because I have a desire to see what he was going to write on the chalkboard. But this little guy would come in. He stood maybe about 5'8", at the most, maybe 5'7". He would come in, black suit, big, thick Coke bottle glasses, walk in, no fanfare, come up onto the stage, go around to the podium. Then he would pick up a piece of chalk and he would write a word on the blackboard. It may be the only word that he was going to write for the next couple of hours, but he'd write a word on the blackboard and then he would begin to speak. And he would start with that word and talk for maybe upwards of 2 hours, and then he would come around and then he would add the final word or the next word at the end of that, you know, in that pair, which would sum everything up absolutely perfectly, put down the piece of chalk and walk out. And if you could keep your mind on what he was saying for the full hour or 2 hours that you had the opportunity, you were in the exceptional caliber. Definitely, he had a completely different worldview. The Ivy League wasn't ready for Bucky Fuller. He wasn't ready for them. He was kicked out of schools often, but he was an inventor. He came up with the Dymaxion car and his Dymaxion airplane and his whole Dymaxion worldview, and definitely, indeed, worked out the mathematics for the geodesic dome. There's a huge one in Montreal at the expo site that he designed. His space truss is everywhere. You don't even see it. But it's this idea of using the tetrahedra as the basic building block of the universe. You take two tetrahedra and give them a common side, and you have a perfect square pyramid. And so the pyramid of Egypt is basically just two tetrahedra sharing a common vertical side. And so for all of the people on Oracle who listen to the mysteries, this guy is no sleight hand. This Bucky Fuller was looking at where we are today.
Yeah, and you can Google. There are videos of Buckminster Fuller speaking, and I really recommend that you go Google those videos because they really are so interesting. And one of the things that he was involved in, one of his ideas for the future, was the World Resources Inventory. And, of course, you know, if you've been following what I've been talking about, of course, one of the global systems is an inventory of everything. In order to implement computer systems, you have to, first of all, do an inventory of your entities. And so that the idea of the World Resources Inventory was Buckminster Fuller's. And of course, he thought that we had already mined all the resources that we need from the earth. We don't need any more. We just need to recycle what we have extracted already. And of course, I mean, you see signs of Buckminster Fuller's ideas everywhere. I mean, the whole idea of recycling everything, I think, came from him. But he carried it too far. I mean, it's being carried too far.
Again, it really depends on a very limited number of people in order for these utopian things to happen. So the idea of massive population reduction just fits in pretty well. He actually thought that no matter how many people, however, came onto the planet, that we would always be able to take care of them, which is a deviation from the more modern theme. But the idea of recycling everything, was definitely in part of it. One of the things that he talked about when he was on the topics of scarcity was that the real scarcity on the planet was not for sources and resources, but that it was distribution. And what we needed to do was to get things to people and quit, you know, putting the roadblocks in the way, and then everyone would be living in the lap of luxury. Well, all that utopian stuff is the stuff of sustainable development. It's the stuff of Agenda 21. The whole idea of a GIS, GPS, global governance system is a follow-on on the thoughts and the thinking of people like Alvin Toffler, who's been interviewed twice on the Oracle Broadcasting Network with Michael Vail and Doug Owen. The ideas that have been put forward by Buckminster Fuller are important, but there's others involved in this too. You know, this Charles Osgood. It's a surprise to me, Vicki, that some of the names that you have in this particular piece of research are also those that Michael Vail and Doug Owen have interviewed. I listened with rapt attention to the Charles Osgood presentation, because he is a psychologist who specialized in the study of language or psycholinguistics or neurolinguistic programming. And this is part of the process as well. We think about modern marketing as being part of our economics 101 studies. But folks, you know, we go back to Bernays and the school of propaganda started by the Catholic Church, and the idea of building demand and supply and demand. It's all demand. That's the whole process. Anyway, we'll pick it up right there on the other side of this break. Stay with us. We'll be back with the remaining half hour.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from survivalistseeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties, but you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from survivalistseeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit survivalistseeds.com.
survivalistseeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website, again, is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And for those of you that have just tuned in or maybe tuning in later listening to the archives, if you haven't visited Vicki's website, this is where you're going to find all the documents for today. It's www.channelingreality.com. And as you know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Vicki and I get together here and just kind of let it all hang out. And we've got lots of material on the plate today. But we're going to talk about game theory in a moment. Before we go there, let's go here. You had something about Herman Kahn.
Yeah, he was mentioned in this article on the futurists looking towards AD 2000. And Herman Kahn was a defense expert that it says, for instance, uses scenario writing in which various alternative future situations are dramatized. And if you ever saw the movie Dr. Strangelove, the character of Dr. Strangelove, I guess, was modeled on Herman Kahn. But it's the scenarios that they come up with that are really the dialectics that we're observing in use today. And apparently that is connected to game theory, which is the applied mathematics in the social sciences. Take it away, Will. This is your area.
Well, I'm not really much of a game theorist, so to speak, but from the standpoint of social sciences, economics, biology, engineering, political science, again, you can click on this link. It'll open up for you folks game theory, this Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. But to get involved with mathematics at any level, other than just your basic, you know, 099, your pre-college math, it's the step that helps to bridge the gap between the deliberate dumbing down that you get in school and for those that actually are going to need mathematics, it then begins to open up into a very fascinating study. I'm certainly not an advanced mathematician. I got exceedingly poor scores in high school on mathematics, much to my own chagrin. And so I have a thing about my personality is when I find weaknesses, I try and repair those gaps. I bridge those gaps. And so for the rest of my life, I've been collecting books and textbooks, college textbooks and professional writings in regards to math. And I have gone as far as I can in understanding. A lot of times I can't even understand what I'm reading. But the whole idea of mathematics as a solution set, as a toolbox, is profound.
Yeah. Well, it says here, game theory attempts to mathematically capture behavior in strategic situations. And so they can use this both for predictive programming and prediction of behavior of how people will respond to a dialectic. And another interesting name in this in game theory is the guy Nash. I forget what his first name is, but he was the subject of that movie called A Beautiful Mind. And did you ever see that movie, Will?
No.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. And there's a very fine line between genius and madness. And it seems that these people, the futurists, people that were on the edge like that, they crossed back and forth.
Well, there is a real problem when it comes to allowing your mind to go into some of the places, even that we go to. You know, you've had an experience last week on Thursday where you were ready to throw in the towel. I was unable to sleep the night before last and wound up staying up for 48 hours. There are other people we both know, you know, Chris Gerner had a little bit of trouble handling this stuff. Other people out there. One of them, though, is August Comte. You know, he threw himself into a river. to commit suicide in the middle of the winter, dressed in heavy coats, and had it not been for a passerby stripping down and jumping into the Seine and digging him out of the water, he would have drowned. It would have been better for the world had he drowned, I think, but he survived. And from his writings, his Catechism of the Positive Religion, which really tipped a lot of people over the top, his system of positive philosophy and his system of positive polity, came another group, the Logical Positivists. And the Logical Positivists tried to apply his positivist philosophy to science. And so from that, then, we can look at the applied mathematics that actually occurs in the social sciences. You add them all together, all of these various parts and pieces. We talk here in this article about equilibrium concepts and Nash equilibrium. But as we were going through this simple textbook in economics, the principles of economics, there's much hay made on the concept of equilibrium, things in balance, Earth in the balance, Al Gore. You can find the links everywhere that you look. So we need to understand that we basically, as human beings, have, under the eyes of the sociologist, we've been put into a petri dish. We've been slipped under the micron microscope, and we become the study of the science of sociology.
Well, and I don't know about the concept of equilibrium anyway. I mean, total and complete equal distribution across the earth. I mean, that kind of negates the special, what is special and unique about each individual.
Well, there is.
It reduces us all to machines, and their goal is to get us all marching, you know, in unison.
Mathematically, there's nothing unique or special about an integer. There's nothing unique or special about the numeral one. No matter where you encounter the numeral one is the numeral one. And so when we look at people inside of the same matrix, there is nothing unique or special about an individual human being. And this is really the crux of this issue. It destroys, like you said, if we go through this idea of equilibrium economics and the equal distribution of all things all over the planet, then there are no Dutch, there are no French, there are no German, there are no Spanish, there's no cultures, there's no customs, there's no tongues, there's no tribes, and there are no creeds. It's all just a smooth crotch existence, no sex, smooth crotch, bronze man, that is absolutely predictable in everything that they do. This is the vision of the future, and it's horrific to me, and I'm sure to most of the audience.
Unthinkable.
Absolutely.
Absolutely unthinkable. And this quote that Bertrand, I'm not even going to try to say his name, there is a tyranny in the womb of every utopia. Well, the tyranny, I don't even know that tyranny is an adequate word to describe a world like you just described, which is their utopia.
Yes, there is no tyranny to it because there are no governments. You cannot be tyrannical if there are no systems. If it's all one system, then it's in perfect balance. There's no problem with calling, let's say, the Constitution just a GED piece of paper. There's no problem with some unknown element like Barry the Usurper serving in the capacity of the corporate head of the United States Inc. All of these things there are no absolutes, Vicki. It's all relative.
Right. And I got an article I'm on the email list of military.com, and there's an article that came through yesterday that an exception to military discipline was given to a Sikh doctor that is serving in the army, you know, so that he could wear his beard and his turban.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, it's not the American military at that point. At the point they approved, you know, number one, a Sikh being in the American military. Number two, allowing him to an exception to military discipline and good order, or whatever they call it. They are no longer the American military, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know who they are. I don't know, you know, what. I don't know who runs them, but they're not American.
Well, one of the movies that I have seen was, I think it was in Star Wars, I believe, and I may be mistaken, but I think I saw the first of the Star Wars series, and there was a couple of scenes, I think, from bar scenes in this future thing. And everybody was in the bars, but they were from supposedly all parts of the universe. And so they all had these unusual dresses and the way that they were, you know, they looked, they're different creatures and things like that. You can imagine a global military force, you know, like you've got this Sikh with a turban, you know, you've got somebody else dragging a scimitar, you know, you've got all of this nonsense in there. You've got somebody wearing a kilt and a hat, you know. It's a world without borders, folks. It is completely futuristic, and we're living in it. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Let's go over the Stone Bridge quickly. It's so short.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending C-panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time, impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
It again, we have returned once again, and it goes without saying, whenever we get together with Vicki on these broadcasts, you know, it's impossible to cover all of the documents, and so that's something that you can go and do in your spare time. There's lots of material in here. We'll cover most of it, continue this on Thursday, all things being equal, but one of the really great benefits of being addicted to the study of encyclopedias is that very little falls underneath the radar, really. And certainly, if you had never heard of Dadaism, you've never read the D section of the D volume of a set of encyclopedias, you might. But having read the D section in several sets of encyclopedias, Dadaism is going to come and gone in my mind often. But it also came up in the research of who Auguste Comte was. So let's talk about Dadaism a little bit. What is it, and why is it important to the audience?
Well, I'll have to find the definition of it, but that is one of the benefits of doing this kind of research the way that I do it. When I find a thread that is just so interesting, I can follow it, and it may not mean people may not understand, you know, why I took this trajectory that I did, but this look at Dadaism is one of those trajectories. But it says here that Dada, an early 20th century art movement which ridiculed contemporary culture and traditional art forms. The movement was formed to prove the bankruptcy of existing style of artistic expression rather than to promote a particular style itself. Dada artists produced works which were nihilistic or reflected cynical attitude toward social values and at the same time irrational, absurd, playful, emotive, and intuitive, and often cryptic. Less a style than a zeitgeist. And what the link that I made with that is that these people, these futurists, had the idea to build a new world. And of course, to build a new world, you must destroy the old world. And the Dadaism, it seems to me, is used as a way to cheapen and destroy the culture of the old world so that you can build new values.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Could hardly say it any better myself. In order to, you know, again, it goes back to Cazidier, the Frenchman. He said, gentlemen, your tools or your materials are disorder. Out of these, you must build order. Out of these, you must create order. And Dadaism plays a really important role in that. You've got people all around America, and I saw an article, I could just grab it, it's a local newspaper, last week's edition. It has to do with every child can compete, every child can play, every child is special, and every child wins. The idea that you can be in a school of art, for instance, and you could be asked to study the masters, Michelangelo, Raphael, etc., Leonardo da Vinci, people who excelled at their ability. You could study the sciences and get involved with all of the really brilliant thinkers of the past. But in order to move into this new multicultural, homogenous, everybody wins mentality, the great society, we have to bring the playing field. We have to level the playing field, the old English levelers concept. And Dadaism fulfilled that just as in art, as the modern music, the squeaks and bleats that came along for a while, the idea that that was music and it was actually replacing it. I don't remember whether it was a Gurdjieff Ouspensky production or just whom it was, but everyone bought their tickets to go to a concert. Gosh, I wish I could remember that guy right off the top of my mind. I don't. Everyone bought their tickets and arrived at the concert hall, and the artist came in and sat down at the piano and sat there for, who was it? McLaughlin, maybe? I don't remember. No, I can't recall. But he sits down at the piano, and he plays one note. Then he gets up and he leaves the concert hall, and everyone applauded, and they got rave reviews. this was the new musical performances, or you get all of the cacophony of sounds, just bleats and squeaks, you know, and all of that. They used to turn the sound way up and just do nothing but nonsense. And this was the way that we could do like the Etch-a-Sketch program on all that was beautiful in art and all that was in beautiful in music in the past, and bring us into this new absurdium.
Yeah, well, and that's what all the alleged public art that is nothing but twisted steel and ugliness and that's Dadaism.
Yes.
And I think who was the guy that did the so-called modern art? He did a painting of a Campbell's soup can.
Yeah, I know the guy you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Well, this is how significant they are. I mean, I can even visualize the works of Renoir or Monet, you know, in my mind. But as far as this, I can see the soup can, but I can't remember the artist's name.
Yeah, I can't either. But the reason why I went down this thread is because in Buckminster Fuller's timeline of his life, he made an issue of something, a school that he was at, and they wanted him to be the ruse of Medusa, and I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. And so I did a search on that, and boy, oh boy, did it open up, it opened up this whole interesting thread, you know, of this Black Mountain College in North Carolina, and how it was started by people that immigrated over here from Nazi Germany, and Roosevelt, even before the WPA, I mean, this was like during the Depression, 1933, even before he funded the WPA, he provided funding for these artists and architects who came over from Nazi Germany.
Well, the study of psychology was just getting its start at the time that August Comte was doing his writing, and he spoke with disdain of the psychiatrists and the psychologists. But we get guys like Sigmund Freud, you know, or even John Dewey. There's so many different names you could just run through the litany, if you will. But, you know, just this, the ridiculousness of this article today, Rome's hospital starts treating the booming, that would be the boom baby boomers generation, web addiction disorder, treating a web addiction disorder, or Gulf War syndromes and all of these very syndrome for everything, and everybody needs a pill. It all goes back to Dadaism, and largely it points back to this great sweeping transformation as we move from something objective in the past to the subjective 20th and 21st centuries.
Well, I don't understand how anybody could not be addicted. When you find out your whole entire life has just been one, you know, basically one big lie, and how the society is manipulated by these intellectuals. I mean, it calls into question everything that you thought you knew.
Well, suppressio viri comes to mind always, that the idea of this fraud of suppressing the truth. It's not so much that what we have learned in our past has been a lie, but it has been so carefully crafted as to create a false illusion of what reality is. You can take little bits here and a little bit here. Like they say, you know, this is Lucretia Borgia and her idea of her various poisons. You would not be able to detect her poisons in a glass of wine, but it would either kill you quickly or it would kill you slowly, but kill it at will. The idea of a little bit of leavening spoils, you know, leavens the whole lump, right out of the Bible. A little bit of half-truths, misdirections, and obfuscations, and you change the mind of an entire, not just one generation, but an entire century of human development. And so they had to set this up in order to produce this illusion that a one-world system of government would be the cat's pajamas, that this would be the way for us to go. Well, once again, as always, Motormouth, we're running out of time. Vicki, I want to thank you again for coming and visiting with us this morning, sharing this information with the audience. Folks, Vicki's website is channelingreality.com. channelingreality.com. On the homepage, you'll find the Become Vocal Local link. Certainly click on that. But while you're there, look around. There's lots of material for you to learn on her website. And, of course, I'm going to be back again tomorrow. We'll continue this thread. We'll maybe go into economics, and then we'll have Vicki back again on Thursday. Until then, good day.
One state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.